The following talk was given by Shokin Weinkauf at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on November 3, 2024. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Well, it's great to be here. I feel like it's family with Norm and the old Steve, Steve the younger. anyway, it's good to see you, Norm. Yeah, and I know Steve's been a little bit sick with. Okay, so all right. Well, yeah, it's great to be here, and I've been lecturing on some. A book called Each Moment is the Universe. It was one of the books that was edited from Katagiri Roshi's talks. The subtitle of this is Zen and the Way of Being Time. I've just been using these texts for the last several years of just commenting on Katagiri Roshi's lectures about different things. And he, you know, his lectures was his commentary on a Zen master named Dogen, who lived in the 1225, who transmitted Soto Zen Buddhism from China. And he was a Japanese Zen monk who went to China and then transmitted Soto Zen lineage. It came down through India into China and then into Japan. And then the first Japanese monk came to the United States. It was 100 years ago. Last year, they celebrated the 100th anniversary. And he came to serve a Japanese immigrant community in Los Angeles. So that was the first venturing. But anyway, this particular chapter that I'd like, that is just the next chapter here that I've been covering, is called Taking Care of Expectation. Now, that's a mouthful because, you know, we all have expectations about everything. We have expectation about our kids. We have expectation about our vehicles, that they're not going to have a flat tire, you know. We have expectations about everything, political elections. We have hopes. It goes with expectations. So this moment is, he says, taking care of expectations. So what is that about? Come on in. Yep. So, you know, we all have our druthers. You know, we like some things, we dislike some things. We like the way things are going, or we don't like the way things are going. We're constantly swung by that. You know, I have a little, it's kind of like a 2-3 day trip, you know. Weren't able to do the whole thing, so had to just come back and do half of what I was thinking about. We have a women's weekend going on this weekend at Rumanji, and, you know, they always say to me, you know, Shokin, you can take off. So, you know, I'm always a take off, and I usually go with Niall. And a Dharma brother of mine, Ito Espy, and we go north. up to Grand Marais, Michigan, and also to Marquette, where two of our Dharma heirs, the priests that I've ordained, are in those areas. One of whom has passed away already. He just passed away this past year. So expectations are always, you know, coming and going. You know, we are swung by that all, you know, day to day. And that is what Buddhism is addressing. You know, like, can you get beyond your expectations and somehow get with where things are? That's not easy, you know. So that requires some sort of, you know, like letting go and being with where things are now in this situation. So that quality is really, it's really, you know, what we're talking about here, you know. And the Buddhist teachings, you know, is like we suffer. We suffer because of our expectations. You know, we all should have expectations and ideas. But human beings, we suffer when things do not go our way. And that quality is what the Buddhist teachings were about. That life and death, it's just arising and disappearing. In a sense, there's nothing to hold on to. Like everything is, you know, in flux. So Buddhist teaching is how do you deal with, you know, our ideas about how things should go, you know, and sometimes things don't go in very serious ways to where, you know, sometimes people even revert to taking their life because things don't go our way. It gets that serious at times. And all of us have been through, we're all pretty well old enough, you know, that we've had some time in our life where the bottom fell out, where, you know, you don't have control anymore about what things are or were. They've changed. That's hard. Up to, you know, a certain point in my life, I was calling all the shots, you know, and this, I would go this way, and I was doing that and doing that. It was all, you know, it was all great. But, you know, then things didn't work out between my spouse and I had a 3-year-old son, and it dropped off. That was like first time. You know, I was not in control. And that was really a very sobering moment in my life. And my brother-in-law, he invited me to go. You know, I told this story, and probably maybe I told it here too. But my brother-in-law invited, said, hey, I heard there was a Japanese Roshi here in Minneapolis. You want to come go check him out? I said, no, not really, you know, like looking for some guru or something, you know, but, you know, I did. And there was a morning sitting like this. And I sat there, and I know exactly where I sat. It was the second seat in looking at the lake, you know, the curtain there in front, you know. And it was just everything was churning. The bottom had dropped out. And that's, my mind was supposed to sit up there. You know, I knew, okay, Zazen. I didn't know. This is the first time I sat. But, you know, it was like my mind was going like that. We all have been there maybe at some point with one thing or another. But that last 4 or 5 minutes of that sitting, I just was there, and my mind just quieted down enough that I could take a look at myself square on and say, hey, this is where it's at. Get your shit together. So that, you know, it was like, that's where it was. It was that last few minutes that, you know, that I just come to face to face with what is. So that quality is what the Buddha transmitted. Like, bring yourself to life as it is, beyond expectation. Expectation is natural. Expectation is our going with what we desire and trying to avoid what we don't like. It's natural. But the reality is, life and death is just arising and disappearing constantly. Things changing. And that quality is all life. It's constantly a process of arising and disappearing moment to moment. We attach to moments and we follow our life that way. We hope, you know, elections. We hope relationships. We hope longevity, you know, but things come on their own time schedule. And can we get with life where it is? So that was Buddha's teaching. And Katagiri Roshi, even in his own life, he was, you know, what was he, 68, I think, when he died. It was way beyond his expectation, I think, you know, so. But listen a little bit here, what he says. You know, he says this basic principle about where is peace? Where is nirvana? You use that word, that Buddhist word, nirvana. Oh, peace and bliss, you know. Yeah, well, where, you know, show me where, you know. So he says, spiritual, this is like, it's kind of like peace, you know, like quietness, like, hey, that moment I had, it was just, that's where it is. So that moment is like, he says, it's kind of like bringing, you know, we're constantly desiring. So as he says, being able to live and be comfortable in your life as it is, without expecting anything. So, he says, this is, you know, with a calm, way-seeking mind, you can face the naked nature of time. So, he goes into this whole discussion about time. So, time is constantly arising and disappearing. It's constantly in a state of flux. So that issue is, can we get with time as it is? So that quality, you know, we have our like and our dislikes, but that quality of getting with what is, Dogen says, is non-thinking. The practice that the Buddha transmitted was sitting meditation, or we say upright sitting. What is upright sitting? If it's in a chair or a cushion or laying on your bed, you know, like, you know, what is upright sitting? It's bringing yourself to what is. It's quieting your mind and getting with right here, right now. Dogen says, think not thinking. And then some wise monk says, well, how do you think not thinking? And this Zen master Dogen says, how do you think not thinking? He just says, non-thinking. What is non-thinking? It's like to quiet yourself, to be upright. Dogen talks about the posture of bringing, you know, sitting upright through your back instead of slunk down. Slunk down is a thinking mind. If you bring yourself upright, you can just finally, you might settle enough that you can just be right here, right now. It's called to bring yourself to suchness, to as things are, to bring yourself to this moment. And that quality is not just on these cushions that you did this morning for 40 minutes. It's to bring yourself to a moment, to suchness, 24 hours a day, not just on your cushion. And what is bring yourself? It's to be upright, to deal with what is. You know, instead of, you know, like kind of grinding on each other, like shut up and get with where things are here. You know, that quality is really upright. It's beyond expectation. It's bringing yourself to moment. So that's a 24-hour practice. You know, it's not just on the cushion. But Kettiger Roshi recommends the cushion. So listen a little bit more here what he says. He says, please just sit, you know, like do it sometime, someplace. Sit down, shut up, you know, get with right here, right now. It's a wonderful opportunity for people to come together and just sit. You can do it on your own. That's cool. But the Buddha's practice, you know, constantly referred to that through generations for human beings. How do you get beyond expectations? It's like not trying to get enlightened or somehow get on top of everything. You know, that's you working again, you know. Show up, shut up, and get with what is. That takes quiet. That takes non-thinking. Turn that off, that grinding. I mean, not turn it off, but let it go and get with moment. So I just started sitting. I lived on Fremont and it was right in my neighborhood. After that experience, I just started going over to the Zen Center. I had my hands full, 3-year-old, half time, you know, with me and half time with his mom. It was like, get with what is. And that quality, I just kept going. I, you know, not trying to get anywhere, get enlightened, nothing. Just bring myself to that day. When my son was with me, I stayed at home. I didn't go to the Zen Center, you know, and, you know, it's like right there. Maybe I sat in my little office or something a little bit, but so Kettiger Roshi, he says, please just sit. He said, and if you are willing to practice Zazen, that's good. I recommend that you practice. He says, and at that time you can settle on yourself, you know, with dignity. Instead of being, you know, a fighting animal, so that you can settle on yourself with dignity like a big mountain and start to walk. That is our life. Yeah, if we can't do that, we are swung by likes and dislikes. We're swung by expectations, you know. And people are, you know, me too. I'm not separate from this, you know. My expectations come and go more than yours, I'm sure. But anyway, it's, you know, it's true. It's a human deal, you know. We are programmed that way because we're on the surface. We don't see this reality that life and death, life is lifing moment to moment at a super fast. Every Katagiri Roshi said every moment has 6,400,048 sub-moments. Every moment, where did he come up with the figure? He didn't even know. He says, I don't know where this figure came from. But, you know, it's like life is lifey. Get with it. That quality is, it's, you know, it's constantly arising and disappearing. So it's pretty good. So he says, you know, he says, get grounded, you know, get with moment like a big mountain and start to walk step by step. So that's our daily life, you know. Show up. Do what you need to do. Take care of where you are. It's not on your time schedule necessarily. It's great to have a schedule. But schedules are schedule, you know, and you can kind of plan ahead and, you know, and give yourself enough time. But, you know, we're constantly, you know, like trying to get someplace, you know, but and then this interrupting or this car cut me off and I'm trying to get somewhere. You know, it's like, how do you get with moment and just drive? So that quality is, I think, what Katagiri Roshi is talking about. He says, he says, but in the domain of time, he talks about the naked nature of time, which is time just is what it is. You know, he says you cannot insert your own ideas or expectations into a moment because by the time your mind works, that moment has already gone, you know. So we have our plans and our ideas, but moment to moment, things are constantly arising and disappearing. So that quality, you know, we say is suchness, you know, it's constantly moving. And then one other point here, he says, you cannot say who you are, like I'm this because or that, because there, in a sense, there's nothing there. We have this idea of self, but what is this self? The self is really, I could say, me, but who is me and who are you? So you are. I am, let's start with me. I am Niles Chickens because his chickens laid eggs and we ate eggs this morning and whipped them up and it was good. Okay. So my life is chicken's life, but chicken's life pecked at who knows what. Let's just say grass. And grass comes from the earth. So without the earth and a little water on the earth, which we have not had a lot, we are earth. So my life, I could say, is my life. But my life is Niles Chickens. And Niles Chickens are the earth because they ate from the earth. And the Earth, that's in an orbit that's going around the sun in a pretty comfortable place, more or less. So that is also way beyond Earth. That Earth is part of a galaxy and the sun. So the galaxy is, well, how many galaxies? The galaxies are interwoven, interpenetrated. You could say all life is interwoven, interpenetrated, constantly arising and disappearing. And in a moment, we call self me. But that me is whole universe. So that quality is really like waking up to, you know, that oneness, or we say the naked nature of time. That moment of my being here is Niles chickens, water, chicken, earth, whatever. So all universes interwoven, interpenetrated. So that quality is, you cannot say who you are because there is nothing there, no concept of you, no concept of even Zazen. Like even Zazen is you know, we can say it's a concept, but, you know, what is Zazen? It's showing up, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So that's a kind of the primary thing I'd just like to throw in there. And I like Getagiri Roshi just saying, you know, hey, just sit. It's good. You know, it's not a means to get anything. It's like presenting yourself to today's day. There's a little gata when you wake up in the morning in monastery. You know, we get up, chant this little gata. It says, waking up this morning, I vow with all beings to realize everything without exception, embracing the 10 directions. So what does that mean? To realize everything? It's like to turn it over. Today's day is right here. You know, elections are right here. Future, it's right here. Good or bad, it's right here. Can we deal with where we are, moment to moment? That is to stand up in suchness. It's not, you know, as one of our members says, I'm moving anyway. I won't go into that. It's more of a political thing. Anyway, I had one last thing I'd like just to share with you. Can you handle me? This one more thing. Okay. You know, I don't really like this guest speaking thing, you know, but this is beyond like or dislike, you know. Like, you know, get over it, Shogun. Just, you know, get out there, you know. Okay, here we go. This is a koan. This koan is from the 800s. Okay. These koans, you've heard that phrase if you're kind of new to Buddhism a little bit. They were ways of trying to talk about how everything is interwoven. And if everything is interwoven, you know, the issue is, how do you handle moment? How do you take care of your home? How do you take care of day-to-dayness? If everything is interwoven, that is, there's two arms of a Buddha, that is to say, a more enlightened being. One is wisdom. That is depicted with a kind of a image of Manjushri, which is a bodhisattva of wisdom. And if you see that interwovenness, It's one thing to see it, to see your life is interwoven and interpenetrated with all life. But to see it is one thing, but to really be it is to live then a life of compassion. Because without compassion, you are shooting yourself in your foot. And compassion is not just all sweetness and light. You know, sometimes it's kind of like, you know, you toe the line with someone. But you do it, you know, out of a spirit of compassion, you know, instead of smashing and winning over somebody. So that way is really, we say Buddha way. What is Buddha way? It's like more enlightened way. It's not something way back in some century, but as human beings, can we live in a more enlightened way? That is Buddhism. These koans are trying to awaken that in to see that our life is so interwoven and interpenetrated. So I'd just like to share just the introduction to one of these koans. It's kind of like icing on a cake a little bit, you know, but it's cool just to hear. And then I'll stop, then we can talk a minute. This koan is in a collection that Dogen copied. There were 89 little verses. And he copied these before he left China. He wasn't aware of these documents, actually. So this is a koan that's in the 19th case. If anybody wants to check it out, it's the 19th case of the Blue Cliff Record, which is a collection of, particular collection of koans. There are a lot of different collections through history. And these are Zen priests like you and me, you know, trying to talk about oneness, you know, and that how do I or how do we live in oneness, that interwoven, interpenetrated connectedness. So this koan is called GT's One Finger Chan. And this is just a pointer to it. I just want to share, these are a few sentences, but listen to it. He says, when one speck of dust arises, like the sun coming through the window, you know, the ray of the sun, you can see one speck of dust, right? So when one speck of dust arises, then the koan says, the great earth is contained therein. So what does that mean? When one speck of dust arises, floats through the air, the whole earth is contained therein. Well, it's not a long shot here. It's, if you look at it, you know, that dust arises from the sun, the earth, the air, the atmosphere. The whole earth is there, this koan says. So the koan's trying to wake us up to, like, things matter. You know, we're all interwoven, interpenetrated. So it's enlightening. Koans are trying to enlighten us to see our interoneness. It's not all about you or all about me. You know, it's all life is that interpenetrated. And the second line, it says, and when a single flower blooms, the whole world blooms or arises. That too, when the single flower, daffodil, blooms, the whole world arises. It's the same thing. Daffodil needs earth. Earth needs environment. Environment gives moisture. You can keep going on and on. Everything is interwoven. You, me, we are our parents. We are our community. We are, Zen Center here. We are, our children. Our children are us. We embody all that. Can we see it? Can we live in harmony with all of that? To live in harmony with all that is suchness. That is our practice. That is showing up. That is sitting upright in moment. Not just literally, but being there. Okay, and then one more phrase. So then he says, but before the speck of dust is raised, and before the flower opens, how will you set eyes on it? In other words, just, see that interconnectedness, that inter-oneness, that interpenetratedness, that quality of awakening to our connection with each other and to live with appreciation of each other and the earth. And that is our practice. So it's not just trying to get high off of Zazen, and using it, as a gimmick to be more concentrated so I can hit more baseballs over the fence, so it's not a means to anything. It's bringing yourself to life, and life itself nurtures us, I think. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Okay. Do you have any comments or I'm happy to just, excuse me, I've been looking over this way. How's Dharma Field been going, Jed?
Good.
Good.
Better than yours?
Good.
You don't like to talk. I like listening to
you. Well, I'll say, when you said when you were a young dad on Fremont, you just brought yourself over to the Zen Center. I feel like that's kind of what I'm doing today. I just need to create a little more Sangha in my life. So that was, I'm just moving. I'm just taking one step in front of the other.
Yeah.
And being. So thank you.
Yeah.
That was very soothing and reinforcing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Reaffirming. But that's
right. Great. And we can, piss and moan, but, about 100, I do it a lot, So, but what? Getting older or what, anything, hey, this is just where it's at. Get your shit together.
Exactly.
I'm going to say something.
Oh, okay, good.
So thanks for your talk, Shokan. It's so good to see you. It reminded me of the flower and the speck of dust.
Yeah.
A talk that really stood out to me. I don't remember how long it was, 5 years ago or something like that. Maybe it was, I don't know when.
Yeah.
But you talked about, somebody laying on a beach and it was about a hairy belly button. and this picture of a person's, you didn't know what it was at first, and then it expanded out, and how the whole universe was connected to this hairy belly. And just like your way of
you could write a koan for the next 100,000 years.
So I appreciate the imagery and the interconnectedness that you brought with your talent. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
I'd just like to say that it's a little bit to be here. I haven't done a lot of normal city around unless I'm down in Vermont or anything. I just went out in the country. It's so cool to be here. And to have Shogun come to my farm this week. But, you know, you guys should all feel jealous of me.
So I drug him here. No, I didn't. But he was happy to come.
You started out talking about expectations and how they lead to suffering.
Yeah.
There is a 12-step statement that sums that up beautifully, and it goes, it can be a long fall from high expectations.
Yeah.
And I thought of that when you were giving your talk. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's 12 steps is wisdom, you know? So, like, yeah. Well, that Thanksgiving coming up. We have wars going on worldwide, including genocide. And, you know, how do you be there? How do you be with what is? It's not easy. It's not easy to say one way or the other what you should do or we should do. So let your life force bloom is what I think these scriptures are about. Yes.
Can I just comment? I often have difficulty with what you were just saying about genocide and the problems that seem to arise and cause so much distress and pain and suffering in one way or another. And I think your comment about non-thinking is extremely helpful in that regard. Mm-hmm. That to me, as you put it, summarizes how we let go of all that pain and suffering that can besiege us if we look at particulars.
Yeah. You don't ignore it, you know.
Right. You can't. You can't
right.
ignore it.
You don't sweep it under the rug, you know. But how do we live with whatever is coming up?
But I think that what you said about non-thinking was incredibly helpful with respect to that.
Yeah.
What Dogen said also.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Very good. Well, let's all keep on trucking. I kind of like that phrase. And it's great to be here. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your taking the helm, so to speak. So continuing.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, let us recite the four vows. Say it all. The beauties of all the stars, though they are impossible, to what we teach you, though they are boundless, though it is
thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.